You are listening to the Experience Points Podcast, the week of February 11th, 2015, and get ready and say fuzzy pickles! It's time to talk about Earthbound.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Alborg.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of games and culture. Today we are doing something a little bit special. We talked about it last week, a couple times before that. We are going to be playing through Earthbound together. Today it is our first Earthbound conversation, so I'm super excited. We played up to a Happy Happy Village area in the game. If you want to play along, I recommend you do so. It's on the Wii U Marketplace. You can play it on the old SNES.
Yep, Super Nintendo.
Yep, and if you do, go ahead and play up to that point. Come back, listen to this podcast, join the conversation, and then in a few weeks' time or so, we'll give you a heads up, and we'll let you know when we're going to do the next part of Earthbound.
Yeah.
So, before we get started about Earthbound, I mentioned this a couple times already, but I want to reiterate what I thought Earthbound was before getting into Earthbound.
And let's put that out there. I've played Earthbound before. Yes. played it on the Super Nintendo.
Well, and how old were you when you played it?
I guess whenever it came out. So what, middle school or something?
Wow. Okay. We should talk about that, because I'm really curious to know what you think about it today versus what you thought about it then.
Yeah.
So when I was going into it, I thought this was like Chrono Trigger, right? I had also had not played Chrono Trigger.
This was like Chrono Trigger, the best game ever created.
Yeah, I mean, like until about like 5 years ago, I thought, you know, like I had never played Chrono Trigger either. Played Chrono Trigger, and I was like, this game is freaking amazing. Yeah. It's super, super good. I see why people call it one of their favorite games of all time. And it establishes this genre, this thing that it is one of the most perfect iterations of the RPG. And that's what I thought Earthbound was. I don't think I realize that people are into Earthbound because it's super fucking weird. Like, it is super, super weird. So that was a really big surprise to me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So in terms of this podcast, I guess we should start talking a little bit about the way we interact with the world in a regular sort of debrief method. Most of this podcast will probably be talking about the more broad elements of the game since we haven't dived too far into the story. But let's start at the very, very beginning when you're, like, choosing the menu colors.
You're choosing the flavor.
Already that's weird. And I was like, that's kind of weird that they're calling it flavor, because it says, do you want to pick your flavor? And I think it has options, right? Like strawberry.
It's like mint and cinnamon something, or I don't know what it was.
And then based upon your flavor selection, it changes the way that the menu looks. Right off the bat, I thought, this is just a weird translation issue. You know, this was way back in the day. Maybe people...
You're like, oh, flavor and tone and vibe. Like, oh, it's easy to mess up that synonym.
But that really is the first sign that things are not as they appear.
Yeah.
Did you pick a flavor?
I decided this time I would just go all default, because I didn't remember what they defaulted you to. And so mine is... I think it's like cool mint or something.
Yeah, cool mint. I did the same thing. The default view. That being said, I think it's pretty cool that you can pick the stylings of your menu. There are some games that do that, but not a whole lot.
And I think a lot of it is a throwback, even in like Final Fantasy V and VI, Secret of Mana. Like, you could do all that stuff, but it's just like this weird old JRPG thing that I feel like probably doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then you get an opportunity to name the character.
Yep.
Which, what a throwback. Like, why don't we have that anymore? I mean, we have that, I guess, for Dragon Age and those big RPGs.
How liberal is Dragon Age for letting you name characters?
Yeah, you can name it whatever you want.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do they handle that with the dialogue, then?
They call you the Inquisitor. They you know, talk to you by your title.
They just, they refer to you as the Inquisitor.
Like, oh, the Inquisitor is here.
Got
it. Exactly.
Okay. But yes, I went all default because, again, I had kind of forgotten, like, how that was all set up. And so I was like, oh, just... And I think you even have to choose something like, I don't care.
Yes. Yeah, that's really weird.
And they just give you
because
something.
You can't just say Ness. You say, I don't care.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, again, it's not like You know, in a normal world...
They're not even giving you a default.
Right. You would just say default. Like, yeah. It's demanding an answer to some extent. I presume that I Don't Care would be Ness.
Yeah.
And that's how I think of Ness already anyway.
Yeah.
Of Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't care. I would prefer... I almost typed in Ness.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense. Yeah, I don't care. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Then it asks you, what is your favorite homemade food? But the characters that they give you, I think it's like, they only give you five letters.
Yeah, you gotta cram it in.
Right, like, so like lasagna doesn't fit.
Yeah.
What did you put?
I said I don't care.
You said I don't care.
I just went I don't care through the whole thing.
So what is the default food?
Steak. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you say I don't care multiple times, it gives you different things.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you say I don't care again, it'll say like cake or sandwich or whatever. Weird. Like, and the same thing happens with names. If you keep saying I don't care, it will give you different other default names.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like Bob and
yeah, Jack. It'll just keep on going.
That's
yeah.
so bizarre. I wonder how, like, this will come up a lot, I think, but it's almost kind of weird and strange how much effort was clearly put into parts that are almost pointless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how many different food items they bother to type in.
I don't know. It's a fair amount because I cycled through a few just to see what it would give me. But, like, you know, they give you somewhere between 5 and 10 different options. Like,
wow.
If you don't care. And then you can just put in whatever you want to put in.
Well, so I just put in Mexican. But there wasn't enough letters, so it's just Mexican without an A. Without that last A. And then when you go home, your mom is like, oh, I made Mexican. Like, yeah. Go and put on your jammies.
Yeah. And I think my favorite thing to do is rockin'.
Rockin'.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Because you have to, like, pick a favorite thing or a favorite pastime or something like
that. Yeah, I think I put games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great because that turns into one of your magic attacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
what? Oh, my God.
So yours is PSI. Yours is PSI.
Psy Gaming.
Psy Games. And mine is Psy Rocking.
That's so weird. See, like, I actually thought Psy Gaming was just the name of the ability until just now.
That's your default what you like.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
So what if I put something really inappropriate, like sexing or...
Yeah.
Psy Gaming.
Psy Tindering.
That's pretty good. Psy Rocking is pretty good. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Psy Gaming.
Yeah. So weird. All of those things are, again, before you even start playing the game.
Weaved into the world.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's any others that stuck out at all, but this is all just like setting up your character, basically, before. So you jump into the game. Mm-hmm. Did you know anything about the milieu of this game? Like,
I didn't
what
know.
The setting was,
nope.
What the whatever?
I mean, I knew like Onette Village.
Yeah, because it's like it's a part of the Nintendo level. Lore. Of,
right,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I know that there are some like characters that will appear based upon like you know other mm-hmm. things I've seen of the Earthbound universe,
mm-hmm.
but no, nothing.
Yeah,
going in completely cold.
Did you watch the intro, like the splash screen, before you get into the actual game?
No, should I have?
Oh yeah, we'll watch it after this.
I thought it was a spoiler or something. I didn't want to watch it.
No, no.
Okay.
I mean, maybe
is it a prequel?
Should we even just do it now? Should we edit this or somehow? Like, do you want to?
Yeah,
see
we
it?
Could stop and yeah. Okay, yeah, let's watch it.
Okay, yeah, I'm just gonna keep the mics going in case any of this stuff.
Hot
is,
mic,
is
everybody.
Actually
hot
relevant,
mic.
But let's
well,
see.
Well, yeah, we can YouTube this.
Yeah, because it's useful for you to see. Let's see.
Here we go. Intro, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There we go. Okay, here we go. So this is when you first just boot up the game. There we go. But obviously you saw all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you just
yeah,
have
yeah,
to
the...
go in. Did you see this stuff?
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I did, I guess.
Okay.
It's
so like this like intro, like the war against Gygas, and like weird atonal crazy music
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Well, it makes it look like this is gonna be like an on-rail shooter or something.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is what I was talking about.
Yeah,
and then it goes into here.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after this, they do a little thing where, like, you actually do see some of the people walk around and stuff. So I guess that is slightly spoilerish. But, like, when the game first booted up and you saw that War Against Gygas thing, and then you got into the game...
And you're just in your bedroom?
What was that experience? Like, what was that? Because I didn't go in fresh, right? I mean, like, I knew this already.
So, legitimately, when War Against Gygas, I thought maybe I had downloaded the wrong game. Like, because, you know, I know there's... Because there's weird naming things, right? Yeah. Like, this was Mother, and then Mother 2, and then there's, like, different... So, I'm just like, I'm not entirely sure. I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Earthbound came up, and I was like, okay, well, maybe this is just some weird styling...
Yeah.
Stylish choice.
Yeah.
And then it boots up and you're in the bedroom and you're just like a little kid.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. What, like, the environment, what does it look like? What is the
theme? Yeah, well, the first thing that struck me was you're in your jammies.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera is, like, centered on Ness, which is, I mean, I guess that's kind of normal. But maybe I was surprised by the aspect ratio just because I haven't, you know, played a game
it's in a long time.
4x3?
Yeah.
Very, very long time.
Yeah.
But it just felt weird, like moving around and having the room sort of move around Ness in a weird way. You know, it doesn't have like the Mario one, right? Where you move to the left and the right and then you hit a certain point and then it sort of moves with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is centered on you.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking about that all that much.
So that, I don't know, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then you go downstairs and you start having really weird conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was... The way that I described it right off the bat was that it's almost surreal. Like, everything about this game is super, super surreal.
Yeah.
And one of the things early on is you end up having to leave your house.
Mm-hmm.
But before you leave, your mom's like, go upstairs and change out of your jammies.
Yeah.
And you have to go upstairs and change out of your pajamas and then go back downstairs. Like, it adds this level of sort of like, oh, you have to participate in this mundane thing, and then you can go and have your adventure, which is not the normal way you go about having an adventure, right?
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger starts in basically the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Chrono wakes up in the bed, goes downstairs, then immediately goes outside and has an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he is set up in this reality where there are swords and there's magic.
Chrono Trigger. The,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas Ness...
Oh, his name is Chrono.
Yeah.
A little weird.
Well, I mean, Ness is also kind of weird.
I guess.
But, you know, whereas Ness is... Everything is in this context of this shadowy mirror image of American suburbia.
Yep.
You know, your weapon is a bat.
Yep.
You know, you get dressed in your battle gear, which is like a red hat and like, you know, a backpack and, and your, you know, your striped shirt. The way that I describe it, a lot of it is, this is kind of the Twin Peaks of JRPGs.
Yeah.
You know, there's like things that are like overly ritualistic in a lot of the ways. Like, you have to pick up the phone to save and to call your mom and your dad and all that stuff.
Well, and people say really weird things. Like,
there's
no one you interact with in this world that's like on your level. Like, nothing feels normal and it's really uncomfortable. And Twin Peaks is perfect, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many characters in Twin Peaks that will say something, like the woman with the log is a good example, right?
Yeah.
Like, I could totally see a woman with a log appearing in Earthbound, having the exact same dialogue, and it would not feel out of place in any way.
Yeah. And a lot of that, even when you first go out on your first adventure and Pokey, the town coward slash bully, is like tagging along with you. Every time you get into a battle... It's just, it's like...
Like, Pokey cowers in fear.
Yeah.
Or like, Pokey smiles and winks at the...
Pokey bats his eyes at the enemy, like...
Fucking Pokey is like the most useless, useless... And it makes you so mad.
And so many times you'll go up to like just a random townsperson and they'll say something about... they'll say something very strange about like, oh, you know, sometimes I just feel sad. Or, that was really fun to do until I gave up my dreams and became a salesperson or something like that. You know, like
Or like, I talked to a mole and it's like, I'm not an enemy. I'm just a regular mole.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then you just move on. Or the fact that you can talk to all the dogs and they speak English.
Yeah.
And then the weirdest dog. So I get to Tucson, right? And I'm like going around talking to dogs. And I talk to this one dog. And it gives me, like, this big, long spiel about, like, I don't know, I think how to do something in the game.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, he's like, I'm going to go be a regular dog now.
Yeah.
And then if you talk to him again, he just says, woof.
Yep. He tells me that thing fuck? One time.
Just yeah. once, and it's like super bizarre. What is happening? Why are all these dogs talking to me? And your own dog, too. Like, I thought this dog was going to, like, join you on an adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
You come home, and your dog's like, I don't want to go out anymore. I'm yeah. good. You're yeah. just, okay, cool. I'm talking to this dog.
And by the way, after killing the alien yes. thing that is that has been helping you.
Yeah, exactly. yeah. So, yeah, because you encounter a meteor falls. Yeah. You go outside. You encounter this bug.
Yeah.
And then the bug tells you, oh, Ness, you've got to go, like, collect all these songs mm-hmm. to save the world, whatever. Whatever. Clearly, that's not that, yeah. that important. And then the bug gets killed by the dog. And as the bug is dying, his last words are this huge exposition. It's like 5 minutes long of just describing, you got to go do this, and then you have to go do this. And then the best part, mm. right at the end of the spiel, is that it goes, did you get all that, or do you want me to tell you again?
Oh, and if you God. Say, tell him again, he'll just go through the entire the same thing.
And give you the option once again. Yeah. And then when he dies, it's just like, It's really bizarre. I wonder, I'm just going to say, because I feel like I should be making predictions periodically.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know how this game yeah. is going to end.
Any predictions you make will be, probably wrong, but also equally likely, it will be completely valid and correct.
Yeah. There's a serious yeah. chance that this is all a hallucination.
Yeah.
This is just all a dream. In some, like, yeah. Ness got hit with a baseball, maybe,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
And he's just on the ground, like, dazed
yeah,
right now. Like,
dazed.
Oh, there's
yeah.
aliens coming to destroy our town.
Or, like, you know, one of the other weird things is when you talk to the bug, and I think this sets the tone for the rest of the game, at least thus far.
Mm-hmm.
The bug tells you the meteor or whatever this, the big bad guy,
mm-hmm.
is influencing other people, specifically adults.
Yeah.
And that adults, like, won't be normal anymore.
Yep.
And even some animals won't be normal anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
And whenever you defeat an enemy, if it's an animal, they say, like, you know, the dog is tamed.
Yeah.
Or if it's a person, they'll say they'll go back to normal.
Yep.
Right? But there's, like, there's, even though it's in this world that's really surreal and kind of, like, really humorous, there's also kind of a weird undercurrent of being really creepy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All of these adults that are attacking you
yeah.
are basically mind-controlled.
They're also authority figures, too.
Right.
Like, the police will attack you.
Yep.
The normal townspeople who
there's
sell
like gangs,
things will attack you.
Yeah, religious fanatics.
Yeah.
yeah.
There's always... There's this constant sense of the adults are... You can't trust them. Like, you have to kind of make your own way as
yeah.
this kid. And also
well,
that
they're
so... city is dangerous,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And everything is unreliable. Like,
yeah.
the dad... We've talked about the dad on the podcast before because he's so iconic as,
yeah.
like, a weird father relationship in a
he's
video
he's the most
game.
Iconic dad in video games that you
never
see.
Never
see,
right?
Yeah.
and even things that he says is weird. Like, when you say that you're going to continue on your adventure, he says, oh, you work too hard.
Yeah.
But you never see your dad. Like,
I know.
So does he
yeah.
not think that he works hard? Like, there's just weird things that fall out of that, the narrative
yeah.
in that way that you have to sort of question and wonder how serious it actually is.
Well, and also, like, even the dad's mechanical function, which is to, A, give you money. So after you fight a bunch of enemies, you don't get money from it, but you will get money once you pick up the phone and call your dad.
Right.
So he wires you money, and he saves your game.
Yep.
So he's this very paternalistic figure of making sure that you never go wanting
yeah.
and also making sure that you can save your progress, that you're making,
yeah.
that you are progressing in life. But he can never, you never directly interact with him face to face. And he even says stuff like, there's this speech that he gave you is like, well, you know what they say? It's like work to exhaustion when you're young. And, you know, after that, you can slow down a little bit. And
right.
he's just like telling you this story of like what it means to be like an overworked business dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's trying to tell you like not to work that hard because he has to do it.
Yeah, that's a good
yeah.
point. Well, and on top of that, like I also find the mother relationship really weird.
Yeah.
Like the mom, all she does, right, when you're at home is like, oh, go have some Mexican food.
Yeah.
Go to bed. She's like a free hotel,
yeah.
basically. It's great.
Yeah.
When you leave and you can call your mom,
mm-hmm.
she never has anything to say. Like,
yeah.
she's always on her way out. She's always going somewhere. Like, yeah. oh, hey, Ness, I'm glad you're having fun on your adventure, but I'm just about to go wash my shoes. I'll
yeah.
see you later.
Yeah.
Click.
It's like, oh, I'm in the middle of scrubbing the toilet, and then she
yeah.
like hangs up the phone.
It's bizarre. Like, it's,
yeah.
you know, we talked about the dad, but the mom is weird, too, because
yeah.
basically once you leave home... The mother is not... There's no relationship there.
Yeah. Well, and the relationship is that the mom is this bastion of domesticity. Like,
right.
Ness's house never really changes because the mom is always doing traditional mom things. Like, she's helping out around town or she's making food or cleaning the house or something. Like, it is, it's a way for Ness. That's like the one almost normal area of the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, the home is that. And part of the normalcy of that home is the dad never being there.
Yeah.
And the mom being like a stereotypical 50s housewife figure.
Yeah.
And then the rest of this weird world is a bunch of adults undermining or attacking you, a bunch of rabid dogs chasing after you, I mean, aliens, you know.
This is like, this is probably the most children's story game I've almost ever played. Even above and beyond, like, games specifically for children.
Yeah.
Because it's about those things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about the fear of authority and the fear of adults and the fear that they're unreliable and you sort of have to strike out on your own. In a classic children's book sense, right? Another weird thing, early in the game, when you not only can you walk into neighbors' houses and they don't care, it's just super weird, but at one point, when you come back with the friends who you met up to the meteor and you go inside the house, the dad, their dad, yells at them, and then he takes them upstairs, and there's a pretty strong allusion that he beats his children.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, child abuse in games, everybody. Like, I did not expect to see that in this particular game. And it again, it adds to that level of like, really creepy, unsettling stuff, right? And I don't know, at that point, the bug had just explained adults are not normal. So is this guy beating his kids because he always beats his kids?
Yeah, or is this just normal?
Is this, or is this like some weird, you know, meteor-infused, you know, parental abuse? I don't know. It's super bizarre.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to go through some more of the thematic things because we got up to Peaceful, Restful Valley and Happy, Happy Village. And you go into that, at that point you've gone through a few different towns and you see, again, like setting up this dichotomy between the house and like Ness is kind of a suburban kid, but he's not even truly suburban. Like he's like outside of suburbia, which is like Onet and Tucson.
Yeah.
So he has, they set him up as like almost the ideal. It's like they exist as their own little domestic island and they have all the trappings of suburbia, but they don't have the drawbacks of it, you know. They don't have like the, you know, gangs, and they don't have the paved streets or whatever, you know,
those terrifying gangs who like are skateboarders and will grind on you.
Hey man, those, especially early in the game, those gangs will kick the crap out of you.
I fought someone that was a new age hippie.
Oh yeah, the new age hippie.
Which, by the way, like that's this other weird dichotomy, right, between the game from the perspective of a child and also the game from the perspective of an adult. Like, why are these people, the people that you fight in particular, like the gang members who are like street punk or, you know, I don't remember all of it, or new age hippie, right, or like weird cultists, all of them are like weird caricatures of what an adult would see as like a bad influence on society.
They're the extreme version of societal segments.
Yes.
Whether it's a police officer or a gang member.
So maybe is like a hallucination of society. Like, this is a shared hallucination. That's what Earthbound is really about.
Well, the other thing, too, is that this is a Japanese game.
Right.
So this is not only a shadowy mirror of Western suburbia, but it's also seen through the lens of someone who's Japanese.
Yes.
Making a game about Western suburbia, a mirrored version of Western suburbia.
Yeah, and what's so confusing is I'm not entirely sure. So who's the creator's name, right? Like, one person mostly led this?
Itoi, I think.
So do you feel like it's generally positive about that space, like Western suburbia or like the process of growing up, or generally negative about it?
Yeah.
Because even the, you know, the mother-father relationship, like the father is reliable in a way that nobody else in the game is, even if he's not around.
Yeah.
Right? Or the mother is comforting, but doesn't have a long-lasting relationship. Like, there's weird mixed emotions in the game, I feel like.
Yeah. And I was right. So his name is Shigesato Itoi. And I kind of cheated a little bit because over the years I've read some interviews stuff. And I mean, he brings in a lot of like life experiences into his games, and like some of the, you know, the scarier parts of the game were influenced by experiences he had as a child when he was scared or he like saw something
a cop
disturbing.
Him, or new age hippie was like, chill out, man.
A mushroom came up and planted one on his head.
Yeah, that just happened, by the way. What a fucking... It's so inconvenient because my controls started not working.
And not only flipped, they're like completely messed up. So like left will be down.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was not a, and I had to find, at that point I didn't know how to heal it.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I guess I have to go to the hospital. And it's hard to get to the hospital. I tried to go home. Was like, maybe my mom can deal with this.
Mom, help.
Yeah.
And a lot of this was, what I've read before is a nostalgia play for him. And like, mm-hmm. this is what, and nostalgia in the most traditional sense, a nostalgia that feels sad at the same time as it feels wistful.
Yeah. See, like, I don't think I picked up on nostalgia, but that's a good thing to keep in mind mm-hmm. for the rest of the game.
There's a wistfulness, though, in this game where yeah. there's a certain innocence that's juxtaposed with all of this fighting that you're doing.
Like when Ness rides his bike and he's like grinning like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. And like the little tune pops up when you're riding your bike too. The music yeah. changes, the types of items you buy at the store, you know, you're sure. buying things like bracelets and t-shirts and stuff instead of armor. The teddy bear
that like yeah. protects you.
Yeah, the teddy bear, the enemy, you know, the attacks and the weapons are, you know, bats and yo-yos and things yeah. like that. So it's this, like, the childish trappings of everything are put against the mechanical stuff, which is essentially like a, you know, Dragon Emblem or Final Fantasy or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even the idea that you could call, like, a pizza delivery service.
Yeah, to get some HP.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Like, there's so many elements in it that I just don't know where to place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in Tucson, there's, like, a farmer's market, and yeah. they're selling all sorts of garbage.
Yeah.
And one guy you go talk to will say, man, I really want a for sale sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear some other guy has it. So I'm like, oh, I know what this is. This is going to be a fetch quest. I'm going to go buy the for sale sign, mm-hmm. give it to this guy, and in exchange, he'll give me something.
Yeah.
I buy the for sale sign. I go back to that guy. He doesn't want it. Now I have a for sale sign, and I'm like, I don't really know what this sign does.
Yeah.
So I use it, go into my inventory and use it, and then some guy out of nowhere runs up and is like, I'm out of breath, I barely made it, thank God. And then I have an opportunity to sell him something.
Mm-hmm.
Super weird.
In your inventory.
From
just
my
anything.
Yeah, and
sell.
I'm like, I don't really, yeah. I was like, here, how about a cookie? He's
yeah.
like, I'll give you $1.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great. So anywhere in the world, they can just set up a for sale sign. Some rando person is going to come by and have me sell something to them.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these weird elements like that. That's like, not only do I never in a million years would I have seen that coming, but once I have it, like, I don't know where to place it, like, cognitively in these, like, other
mm-hmm.
themes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good transition into talking a little bit about the mechanics of it, because I'm assuming that was somewhat of a surprise as well.
Yes.
Most
of the mechanics are surprised.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I mean, like what we were saying, you know, this is at its core, it is a turn-based Japanese RPG.
Yes.
HP, MP, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
PP,
psi power. I feel like I didn't remember it properly, or maybe it had just been a long time. But I was thinking about you while I was playing this, and I was like, wow, this game has a sharp difficulty curve.
Yes.
Like in the very beginning, like I died a couple times.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. You can't play it like you just barrel through. You have to be strategic, and you have to use a lot of items, and most of the battles early on are going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, even if you win.
I mean, when you have to fight the giant bug, one
yeah.
of the first bosses,
mm-hmm.
like I probably fought that guy 6 times.
Yeah.
Because you go up there, and then he's very hard.
Yeah.
And getting there is hard. So by the time you get to him, your resources are depleted.
Yeah.
So you really need to get to a point where most of the things in that cave, you sort of instantly knock out.
Yeah.
You know, or a lot of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
And some of those battles, too, like the ants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't only true of the ants. Cultists did it as well
yeah.
when I was playing earlier today. But they'll call for help.
Yeah.
And you'll get into a battle where, like, an ant calls an ant.
Mm-hmm.
That ant calls another ant.
Yeah.
And one, I'm like, this is great. I'm getting all sorts of experience points. But on the other side of things, it's like, wow, this is really difficult. The battle is lasting a super long time. I'm
yeah.
depleting my resources.
Yeah.
I know I complained to you that the speed, like, your speed in combat is not super clear, and so you end up having to predict when you're going to take lethal damage
mm-hmm.
and choose your spells accordingly. Like
yeah.
if I'm fighting 3 guys and I'm at maybe 80 hit points,
mm.
I know I'm probably gonna die unless I heal myself right away, because
yeah.
all 3 of them successfully hit before I get my chance to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or then conversely, I get in these weird loops where I'll heal myself, but before I did or right after I did, they attack me 3 times and put me back into a near lethal spot.
Yep.
So it's like heal, attack, heal, attack, heal, attack.
Yeah. And I feel like the early game makes it even harder because it's just Ness by himself.
Yeah.
You don't have Paulina or any of the second two characters yet, or the third and fourth characters. And like mechanically, it's such a relief when you get Paulina because then you have a friend. Like, not only are you not alone in this strange world run by cultists and new age hippies.
Yeah.
Mechanically speaking, you have some support. You know, right. She can attack while Ness is using the healing magic or whatever. Right. You know, she can do that.
I looked at her spell. It does stupid damage.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, and her spells will get even stronger. And, you know, Ness will be put into this interesting role of, like, part brawler, but also part healer, because he has more of the healing spells.
Which is super rare in games. I mean, that's pretty rare that you play both roles.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that being thrown into such a strange game, and also being thrown into a game that you will fail out of most encounters if you're not over-leveled or you're not tactically fighting, makes it hard. It's kind of a throwback. You know, you realize, this is a game from 1993 or 4 or whenever it came out. You know, like, this is how these RPGs used to work.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And the one thing that strikes me as especially egregious is how unclear it is what items do and how little inventory I have.
Yeah.
Like, I do not have much space in my inventory.
Nope. Hey, you only have one backpack, man.
I just got Paulina. Like, she can't get a fucking backpack?
She does. She has her own inventory.
Whew, thank God.
Yeah. But it's the same size. So every character has the same size inventory, and so you can swap items around. Like,
so everything that you equip is in your bag.
Correct, yeah.
It's not like, oh, you're wearing it, therefore you don't have to use up it up in
you
your
have
bag
your bag, and you have your bag, your bat and all that.
I have, like, I mean, again, everything is super fucking weird.
Yeah.
A huge eraser that erased this weird metal pencil that was stuck in the ground.
Yeah.
I've got this weird broken machine. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
I have all these, like, fucking sandwiches and stuff. I don't know how much they heal. Like, there's no point in getting a cookie at this point because it only heals 6 HP.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but it automatically picks up cookies.
Yeah. I mean, you could discard them, I guess.
Sure. I just eat them and then, move along.
Have you started using your sister's business to store items yet?
I saw that she had the offer, but I just don't know what to store yet. So I guess I should start storing some things.
Yeah.
Especially the things that I just realized I cannot sell. Like, I can't sell an eraser.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sell... I guess I just sold a ruler. Still not sure what a ruler is for, by the way. I used a ruler, and it's like, you can now get exact measurements of things. That's it. Didn't use up the ruler. Still have a ruler. Don't know what that is all about. But like, there are other necessary things, right? When I buy food... I don't know, like, am I getting the right bang for my buck when I'm buying it? Mm-hmm. I don't know how much health, say, a sandwich versus a slice of pizza gives me. Or condiments.
Right.
Condiments.
Putting
are super
some ketchup
confusing.
On the fries will increase the HP that you get, but you have to take up two slots and, like.
And does it automatically know what condiments you want to put on what food? Because I think I had, like, a sandwich and I bought some weird condiment. And it said, like, oh, this didn't taste very good, or it didn't have an effect or something.
Yeah, I believe the condiments are supposed to be naturally paired and used, but I haven't done enough research to understand it.
Should I just presume, like, ketchup, fries, burger, mayonnaise, mustard?
I don't know. What pairs well with Mexican food? Get some salsa in there?
Sure.
Yeah, like...
yeah, I guess.
That is also... going back to the theme of discovery and childhood discovery, you just figuring things out as a kid.
Yeah.
And this is thinking about Earthbound. It harkens back to, like a pre-internet era child.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't really know all of this knowledge. There's no way to connect with people. Like, it's a big deal when you get a phone receiver that allows you to get calls but not make calls when you're in the field. Like,
although
if you
I've never gotten a call yet.
Okay, that will happen in a little bit.
Okay.
But I mean, if you ever want to contact people, like, it's a much more person-to-person experience, or you have to get to a phone and you have to experiment. You have to figure out, slingshots miss more often, even though they might have higher damage potential.
Yep.
That's not really written down anywhere on some kind of in-game internet or whatever.
I learned it the hard
way. Yeah, you just had to figure it out. It's this idea of growing older and more experienced through your actual experiences, not through reference material.
Yeah.
And there's this kid who is not being guided by any adult, stumbling his way and becoming stronger and stronger, both, you know, from a mechanical HP MP perspective, and also just through your experiences. Like, you're understanding how the world works and how the condiments work together, and the fact that you can't ride a bike when there's a teddy bear following you. Like, yeah, there's all these rules of the world that you are learning that have existed before you and will continue to exist after you, but you have to go through and find.
Right. Yeah, and even to some extent, it mirrors that feeling of being, like, independent for the first time when you're a kid,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a bunch of money from your allowance or something, yeah. right? Like, when your dad gives you all this money, and you go to the store, and I'm like, oh, I can buy a banana, I can buy a baseball bat, like, oh, this is great, I'm just buying all this stuff, even though I don't know what it is,
yeah.
and then I'm eating it just to experiment.
Yep.
I mean, in some weird way, that's similar to, like, you know, when I was young and I would just go into like downtown with $20 yeah. to a yeah. bookstore, and I'm like, oh my God.
See what happens.
Yeah. I can buy whatever I want.
Yeah.
I can get any food. I'm going to have some candy for lunch.
It's I'm a huge eraser that I'm going to buy.
Yeah, I'm going to fight some new age hippies today. And that's when I beat home this guy when I was in middle school. That didn't happen. But it mirrors that same sort of liberation, but
yeah.
Almost like confused liberation, because
and you're also so you don't know, like, what you don't know if Ness or the game itself is a reliable narrator, like these weird
there's no way the game is a reliable narrator.
Well, I mean, like the weird golden statues that seem to be perverting people's thoughts,
yeah,
you know, the
which, by the way, that, like, you just leave them there.
Yeah,
why wouldn't I try to destroy it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's the same reason why you go to the various sacred places of the world and, you know, capture, like, the songs. Yeah, like, yeah. It's, and, you know, that is also somewhat supernatural. Like, the first one you find is the giant step, which is like a huge Bigfoot thing.
Yep.
The second one that you'll get to soon, you probably heard people talking about around town, is called the Lilliputian steps.
Yeah.
And so it's like the opposite, right?
Tiny
like,
little
like,
feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, again, this is something that, is Ness interpreting this as literal when it's actually local myths and traditions? You know, is this something that is a metaphor for, you know, learning more about the larger world? You know, there's just so many things that are not clear who is telling you the truth. And even if what you're seeing is interpreting, is Ness interpreting it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is very much Twin Peaks in that way.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to get a good sense of what's real and what's not.
Like, yeah.
You know, even the fact that in Tucson, like, different kids have houses. They're yeah. all on their own. And you go inside them and they're tiny little houses.
Yep.
Like, Paulina has her own house.
Mm-hmm.
Orange Kid and Apple Kid
yeah.
have their own house.
The inventors.
There's a hint house.
Yeah.
And this is hilarious because I heard, oh, okay, there's a hint house over here. I'm going to go inside. I expected there just to be a normal house and a guy, but instead there's, like, a smaller house inside of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason it's in a house at all, but it offers hints.
Yeah.
Really bizarre.
And the mice are around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, I took a bus through the tunnel, and the guy's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to 3 Penny yeah. today. Drive through. It's full of ghosts. And
yeah.
you come out, like, it's a fucking Twilight Zone, and you're just in. And he's like, oh, man, sorry. Do you want to get off here? We yeah. can just go back to the bus station.
Yeah.
I would love to. Why didn't? Did they ever make an Earthbound animated series?
I don't know,
because I feel like yeah. this would be ripe for having a really weird.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, they. It's such a cult classic. I don't know what kind of following it had. I mean, the following that it does have is obviously clearly very dedicated.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's everything about it is a little bit surreal, and the way you interact with things is the same thing. Like, you know. Talking to people or checking certain things.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very mundane, but what the people tell you is strange.
Yeah. Yep.
It's this is everything, especially in the early game, I feel like you're used to either swords and sorcery or, you know, a dragon, double dragon style beat 'em up. And this is kind of a quasi modern setting. But with all of these weird JRPG things,
yeah.
but people are also talking about weird philosophy, and most of the population seems depressed.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. So, I don't know if this is spoiling anything, but does it generally stay with this tone? Are there, like, pretty big dramatic shifts throughout the game?
No, I mean, I still think this kind of off-kilter, but in a quiet, quirky way, stays. There's definitely more... I mean, get ready. There is more supernatural and surreal stuff that people will still consider, you know, like the ghosts that you saw when you were trying to get yeah. to Thrieve. People aren't flipping out. They're just like, oh, there's too many ghosts here. That's strange. I guess we need to turn back, you know, like.
And in some way, it's actually kind of like certain text in Pokemon.
Yeah.
When you learn that oh, this Pokemon that's super cute steals the souls of dead babies or something like that, right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of really weird Pokemon.
Yeah.
It has that same sort of level. I mean, even the world of Pokemon itself is kind of weirdly dark and surreal. In There's, the way that like, Pokemon are the economy.
Well, and Pokemon is in some ways kind of spiritually related to Earthbound because it's this child going out into a world that they're not quite sure what all the rules are.
And there's no dad and your mom is just like, peace.
Yeah. It's, you know, the kind of the Japanese suburban kid story.
Yeah.
Is one of those threads that runs through both of those games. And that stuff continues throughout the game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what other sorts of like messages we could tease out of the game. Because, you know, when you're looking at like a normal coming-of-age story, you know, the main character learns something about themselves or they become completely independent from their parents in some, you know, interesting way or, you know, whatever. There's all sorts of different narratives in that genre.
Yeah.
But I've never seen that genre in a space that is as weird and surreal as this one.
Yeah.
So, and the elements that seem very much directed towards adults.
Yeah. So, well, especially in the time and place, right? Like, when I first played this, I was not much older than Ness supposedly is.
Right.
And so I'm going
your
back.
Your little striped shirt, your baseball cap.
My PK, my Psy rocking abilities. Going back to it now as an adult, you see a lot more of the in-jokes or the winks to the camera, like the signs we'll all have. There's a sign in Tucson that says something to the effect of, hey, do you like playing sports? Well, that's just fine with us, the Tucson Athletic Organization. You know, like just like all of the strange little one-off throwaway jokes and the side glances that the adults will say about, you know, how they remember being a kid. Like some of it's like, oh, Ness, you're having such a great big adventure. And it's like, I almost died in that cave. It's like, seriously. And then the adults are like, oh, those were the days, weren't they? You know?
Yeah. And it's like the bugs are still in there. You could go in there and fight them too, buddy.
But maybe the adults don't see that. Maybe it's all in Ness's imagination. You know, like that's why.
Well, there's
like
the weird mayor though in Tucson who's like, you defeated the gang. Even though we have a huge police force, we couldn't do it. Now we owe you one.
Yeah. So we'll open up the path to the next town or
super
whatever.
Super bizarre.
Yeah. Okay, this is good. It's a good start. And again, things will accelerate a little bit now that... Things will definitely accelerate for you once you have two characters. I feel like this is where things get...
I'm ready.
Like, better in terms of just mechanically speaking. But we'll continue to chug along. I feel like maybe Thrive or slightly after that will be a good stopping point. We'll have to see where we go because
I love that all the towns are just based off of
numbers. What sequence they are.
Great.
Yeah,
awesome.
The band will come into play and the ghosts that you are
the ghosts, like ghosts of dead kids who were hit by buses in the tunnel. That's like what
we'll
I'm
have
predicting
to know. Yeah, so we'll check in again, but we'll make sure to give people plenty of warning so they can catch up. We'll try to do it once every few weeks or so just to continue to chip away at it.
Yes.
Yeah. Until next time, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our Onet Village.
Yeah, that's where we go back for Mexican and
Mexican
steak.
And steak. And while we're rocking it.
Oh, wait, hold on. I asked you, before we do this, have you gotten homesick?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is just a thing that will happen mechanically. Should I tell you?
Sure, yeah.
So if you don't go home enough or talk to your
you
mom enough on the phone...
Oh, see, the thing is, I've been calling my mom all the time.
See, that's good, because if you don't, you get homesick.
Weird.
And what happens in battle is you'll click on something to fight, and it'll say, Ness thinks about his mom and gets a little lonely, or like, Ness wonders what his dog is doing right now. And you just have this homesickness status effect that you can't get rid of unless you call your mother or go home.
Does that last through the whole game?
Yeah, it just keeps on going.
Weird.
You have to call your mother to dispel
homesickness.
See, I
feel like what would be cool is if, as the game went on, you could go longer and longer without calling home.
I mean, maybe there is some sort of math involved. I can't tell, or I haven't deciphered it yet, but yeah, homesickness will interfere with your ability to like fight in battle and stuff. You'll just miss your turn every once in a while.
That's just a reality.
Yeah.
That's just true.
It's just, I don't know if there's ever been any other game that has had a homesickness mechanic in it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Anyway, if you're feeling homesick, that's why you should visit our website.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And also leave us a review. iTunes and Stitcher, it helps us find new listeners.
All right, until next time, everyone, watch out for those new age hippies.
New? Those goddamn new age hippies.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Every time.